You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the co-host of this wonderful show. Join me on the other line because it's a week, it's a new week. Mr. Tony, it's a man who, do I have a good joke today? I don't think I have a good joke for you, Tony.
You have no good jokes today?
Hold on. Let me wreck my brain. Oh, a man who did not get elbowed in the face and act like he was trying for an Oscar-winning performance.
Thank you. Fantastic.
There it is. I thought of something.
Did you see the video the Yahoo made with LeBron winning a legit Oscar for that elbow?
Oh, I did not see that video.
It was very well done. I evaded the dumping on Indianapolis thing, so I shouldn't be saying Yahoo, but it was a very funny video edit. So,
what else would have been good jokes for the week? I'm trying to think. A man who,
I don't know.
Did you see Miles Turner kind of weird tweet about what was it? It was like something about being a soldier if you can't see the general, something like that. Did you see that tweet?
I have no idea.
Oh my god, you got to see this. I hope it's still up there.
I'll have to look. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of humor around the league. A man who is sad that we're recording this during Zion versus LeBron. How about that?
Oh, that game not over yet?
Fantastic television. There's a minute and a half left, and it's been – I mean, LeBron's just better, but it's been fun.
So the tweet from Miles Turner real fast before we move on to some more important stuff. I'm trying to figure out how to DM this to you. Goddamn, my computer stinks sometimes. All right, send this to you so you can see it. It's hard to spot the general when you're working like a soldier. I'm sure it's some song lyric. I'm 100% sure. I'm not that cultured enough to know what it means.
I don't know. He had a big week, though. We could start with him. We weren't planning on it, but we should.
He had two
massive shots.
Massive shots. I think the funniest part was that, right? Didn't it Millen call the one against Portland a broken play, but he still hit it? So that's
broke. Okay, I want to talk about that because I was in the press conference and he did say broken play, so everybody ran with that. But he said he called a pick and roll, and the pick and roll happened, and it was stopped. And then to Sabonis saw Turner and passed it to him for a three. I don't call that a broken play. I call that a play that was stopped, right?
Yeah, I guess it was second option, third options.
Yeah, I get why that phraseology was used because the play they ran was not open. But good read from Turner and Sabonis in both game winners or game daggers, actually. But yeah, it was not what they wanted to get on that possession, but still huge, huge play from Turner to read that Melo pinched into defense Sabonis. And pop out behind the line, and from Sabonis to realize, oh my gosh, I have two guys on me, someone's wide open. And
The thing about that shot is if he can really become that consistent of a 3-point shooter late, which I'm still skeptical of, let's be real, but if he can,
he's like 9 for 13 in the clutch on threes this season.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, what's the playoff time? Because I still,
oh, right. That's
still haunting memories of him screwing up play after play in the clutch of a playoff game, or just in his career. But if he does, I mean, that play is going to be the easiest shot to get of any play on the court, right?
Wide open. The one against the Cavs was not wide open, but he made it wide open.
But it's an easy shot because he's going to have a match advantage almost every time.
Yes.
No matter what, even if he's guarded, the center is not meant to guard him. And two, he's taller than most of the guys guarding him anyway. So he's going to have that shot most of the time. So if that can be a consistent kind of go-to clutch play, I mean, that changes some of this. It cures some of the end-of-game woes for this team at least.
Yeah. Just spotting up is the option that Portland was willing to give up, right? That's crazy. We know, like, last year it was close to 40%. This year, amid injuries and stuff, he's been worse.
It's up and down. It's been up to 40-something at one point, now to 34.
Yeah, I was going
to
say he was at it at one point. I think he's above league average again now, right? He had another big shooting week.
I don't know.
He's close. 34%, which for center is really good still. It's like, if that's the shot you're giving up, yeah, the Pacers will take that every time.
Yeah.
I agree. The Cavs one was even crazier because they actually recovered pretty quickly, right? I forget who was on him. I think it was Drummond at this point. Got out to him, and he just faked and put it on the floor. And I was like, okay, I'll shoot from right here instead. And it was really impressive to see his composure on that second one to me because, I mean, his off-the-dribble three has not been – I mean, it's fine. Especially for a center, it's good. But it's not like, oh, we have to hunt this. But, oh, man, it was fantastic in the moment.
Well, and if he can hit that shot, like, consistently in the clutch, he's played himself back onto the court. I mean, he's been playing the end of games.
He's been playing great recently in the clutch, yeah.
Yeah, but it sort of makes it like I think before it was kind of like, well, we can maybe adjust the lineup if we need to kind of fit the matchup. If he plays like this, it's like you have to play. No,
right.
There's no question. He has to be in the game. He has to be one of the five guys on the court because defensively, absolutely, he should be out there for sure. And offensively,
big clutch blocks, too.
Yeah, and if he can do this offensively, then he's as good as having Justin Holliday in the game, for example, something like that, because
So Turner had 10 rebounds in all three games this week, had an 8-block game. He averaged over 4 blocks a game this week.
Yeah, although the Hornets should have just stopped going at him. They were just stupid.
they kept trying and trying. I'll give them credit. They really wanted to score over Miles Turner without their best player that we both thought would probably be the Butcher.
Yeah, Devontae Graham, yeah.
That was such a wild game. Yeah, he was everywhere. But, I mean, his stat line, including 2 dagger threes for the week, being 10 points, 10 rebounds, 5 blocks on 43% three-point shooting. It's like, that's all you want from Turner.
He doesn't have to be 20 points. He has to be the guy who is a game changer on defense, which he was, and then a guy who in offense is enough of a threat where he either can make the shot when he needs to, or he forces the defense to guard him well that he opens up for other people.
They also outscored the other team by an average of about 19 points per game with him on the floor. And I know the Charlotte game, they wrecked them, but he was a plus 23 and a 9-point win against Cleveland. So yeah. You do the math.
He had a really good week. I mean, I think if we're going to give a player of the week, which we don't really do, maybe we should do that award. No, and I think I'd probably give it to him, right? I mean, just.
Why haven't we been doing that?
I don't, because we.
That's that, easy and a genius thing to talk
we about. We aren't that creative until this moment. All of a sudden.
Wow.
10:30 Eastern time on a Sunday night.
Yeah, no kidding. The juices are flowing.
Right. Would you give him player of the week? Or would you give it Warren? That's probably the two I would look at, right?
Brogdon has a case to me, too. Those are the three. The bench was all bad, basically, this week.
Warren had that big 30-point game, which I thought was
Warren did have a big 30-point game. The Cavs had just no answer for him, especially at the end, too. Like, they were like, oh, you're going to take a long two? You can shoot that. And he's like, okay, I hit half of these. So
he was super efficient against the Hornets, too. Warren was 9 of 12. Yep. Warren was
he kills the Hornets. I think four of his 5 30-point games are against them or something like that.
He would have had 30 points with the Hornets if they weren't blowing him out.
Yeah, if they played more than whatever.
Quarter. He played probably a season low 27 minutes for a non-injured game for him.
This is another big upcoming week for Turner to potentially do well again. Like, the Spurs have everybody out. The Bucks, obviously. Brooke Lopez hangs around the rim a little more. He's been one of the better defenders. The Bulls, we saw what happened with Turner against the Bulls. And the Mavs, Porzingis kind of defends force. So we'll see. He could have another big week. But he's definitely – I think he probably should win. I mean, the gravity of his shots was just so huge that takes it away probably.
Yeah. I think, though, the player we should talk about for now is Victor Oladipo. I think he finally, to me, felt like he – how do I say he turned? He probably turned a corner a little bit, I guess. Maybe the way I would put it. I think he was more efficient all week. I think look at his stats since it's been the kind of the OG five of Warren, him, Brogdon, Turner, Sabonis. He's played pretty well, actually.
I tweeted his stats since joining the starting five right after they won against the Cavs, and I need to find that tweet because I look like an idiot.
Yeah.
13.6 points, 3.3 rebounds, 2.4 assists per game on 45, 34.5, 70% splits. So splits are solid, and those stats are fine for a guy who now we see him not going crazy trying to get up a ton of shots. That's a pretty good stat line.
Yeah, I took out those first two games he started because there was no TJ Warren in those games. It just
took
the last five, and it's similar number except he's 47 and 35 shooting splits, which I thought was even better. I think
if you look at those games too, I guess maybe Brooklyn was the exception, but like, I think the Bucks game, especially with Warren going crazy, that was the night he finally realized, like, oh my gosh, like my teammates can score. Like, I know he knew that because he's been watching them all season, but playing with this team versus last year's team, I think that game he finally realized, like, I don't have to shoot a ton. And he shot 7, 8, 9 shots the next three games. I think he's finally realizing how involved he needs to be as helpful as possible, given how capable, like, given his current bodily state, what he should be contributing.
So I think he also has to ease himself in, right? So I think physically he's actually there in terms of like his speed, his good. Like, you don't think he's got I think he has the same.
He's fast, but like his lift's a little less and he's still timid on drives and stuff.
So, but
like
no,
that.
But what I mean is that the actual physical, like if you did like the his combine numbers are there, I would say, right?
I think his lift less, his vert is all that.
I think what his issue is that his lift is odd, is that he doesn't quite have like his.
It might be different. He did have an ankle injury, perhaps from it being different.
Yeah, I'm thinking
that
he doesn't have his like timing right. He doesn't quite have his like rhythm right, and those are things that you have to kind of slowly build back up. Because like right when you get a whole off season off, you can spend your entire summer shooting 10,000 threes, working on every layup, floater combination possible. We didn't really do that this summer, so he's just off on that part again. But I think like defensively, we see he looks fine defensively. Like right, he can hold his own.
Definitely.
I mean, that's what I mean is like. his physical gifts are still there. It's just not the other stuff that kind of made him an elite player was that, like, around the rim, he had really good touch, and he had a really good pull-up three. Like, things that you kind of have to kind of practice your way back into, especially when you haven't played for a full year and haven't really shot basketball. Like, we're able to shoot basketball for probably 6 or 7 straight months because you were in a cast of some kind. So yeah. I feel like he's just about slowly getting there, where like just finding his rhythm back, using these last 22 games to be kind of like a preseason, offseason, where he just like takes a ton of shots, figure out his rhythm and flow, and then eventually gets it going in the playoffs.
Yeah, they've won half the games he's played, and I think those first three games when he was like a 20% shooter and like 14% from deep, I think he averages like 9 points a game or something before he started. Like, I think that was him just totally getting back into game shape was terrible. And now I think he's a little bit more there, a little more available. He's starting. He's playing with guys who are better suited to play alongside him. I know that was a lot of their goals for the summer.
Warren got hurt that next game, right?
Correct.
So, like, and I think when he played with Warren, he also realized, oh, there's a guy who's on my level offensively.
Yeah, no kidding. And I want to talk about the starting five, too, because I think that's a big part of it, is they've been really good as a unit since he joined on the season now in 86 minutes. Their offensive rating is a nice 113.5, and their defensive rating is 104.1.
So that 13.5 would put them in the last – over the last – I have the last 2 weeks up.
Yep.
I think that would put them at, like, 9th in the league, 10th in the league.
Yeah, that group is killing it. They were really good against the Cavs. They outscored – when that group was out there, they outscored the Cavs by 13 points in a 9-point win. They finally look like they're a unit. You know, like, they know which guy to attack. Nate McMillan loves to attack mismatches. Well, it seems like with that group, there's something somewhere, especially after Sabonis' ridiculous screens. Like, they've been really killing it.
You have also noticed with Victor, the defense is better. I mean, it's something he always said. I remember even last year when they – was it last year he said, if we're going to win games, it has to be defensively, not necessarily offensively.
Right.
I mean, he makes their like, – he just brings a level of energy with the charges, you want to say, stuff like that, that just helps make their defense better.
Well, that's what Mark Monti just wrote about, is all the players. I think it was after they got smoked by the Raptors. They were like, to get our identity back, we have to be better on D. And it seemed like their offense was the problem, but lo and behold, they were right. They lock up a little more on D, and all of a sudden the offense comes a lot easier.
Well, because the defense is the consistent thing, right? You can almost consistently, you know block shots, defend guys really well. You can't always consistently hit your jump shot, even if it's your best day, right? I mean, sometimes they figured it out,
falling. That's for sure.
So, yeah. I mean, that's going to be the key for this team right going forward, too, because good defense leads to good offense because you can create turnovers in the transition.
Right. Too. If that unit stays good, it's hard to – like, I know that maybe we'll talk about this. I doubt it. But, like, sure, they won all three games this week. But, like, the pessimists could say, well, look at the teams they beat. The Dameless Blazers is the best team they beat this week. Yeah, but – it's the process to me that's good. The starting five being good consistently, and that includes the Bucks game, includes all the games since the break. Like, that is something to look at going forward as a leaping point of like, yes, this is a good thing we have that can help us win games, even when we're not playing these terrible teams. And I think that is a good takeaway from the week.
Yes, I would agree with you. The last guy I think we should hit on is Malcolm Brogdon, right?
Brogdon. We have to because we deservedly were critical of him last week.
So you want me to read his weekly stat line real fast?
Nuts. Very good.
18 points, 7.7 assists, 4.3 rebounds on 53.7, 42.9 shooting.
Yeah, he was awesome, especially against the Cavs. I don't know what happened, but if he was just in a massive slump or something, that this week it finally seemed like, hey, he remembered like how to hit layups and when to shoot on pull-ups and how to hit threes.
His 18-footer's fallen. At a better rate than it feels like as of late. He's hitting that shot really. Like, it's the Darren Collison shot, right? It's just like turn the corner, get a screen, real quick, shoot.
Well, against the Cavs, he had two of those. He goes for a couple of these every game where he like has the half step on the big man, and to get the other half step to score, he'll use the basket itself. Like he'll do that reverse layup thing. And it seems like he's been missing a lot of those recently. And I think against the Cavs, he had every single one. And I think the more that shot goes too, the more you'll see him try to drive and be aggressive because he can A, get that shot, and B, create opportunities for other guys.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Like I said, when you talk about the whole, they played a crappy team week, it's about the process, right? It's just the shot looks better. Let's see how that translates to. They have a tough quarter coming up and stuff like that, but let's just.
Yeah, can that springboard into the coming week? Well, if he can get that half step to get to the basket, yeah, it can. And if that lineup is working well for him where he can have advantages where Andre Drummond is switched on to him all the time, yeah, then that's a good thing. And he showed that he can still punish those guys with a week like this. And I think, I mean, his defense was not substantially better, and that's still something that we might have to worry about at some point. But just to see his shot actually fall on him to actually look like a floor general and not like a player who should barely be on the court was huge given where he was at before.
Yes, he was at a state where like we might have to start talking about who should play over him in clutch time.
Yeah, we knew that like the bench was really good, but I mean there was a time where the bench was outplaying the starter substantially because of how poorly he was playing.
Yes.
For a hot second there. I mean, we ripped on his percentages all last week, basically.
Yes, we did. All right, so I think we should hope that he plays better going forward, which is a good transition to what's previous week's games. All right, Tony. So yeah, we talked about how they can
road trip.
They can prove themselves against some good teams. They got some good teams coming up. So
road trip, the dumbest road trip ever. I don't understand this travel at all. I know making a schedule for the NBA has to be absurdly hard. I'm not actually that critical of it. It just seems dumb. They're going to Texas, back to the Midwest, back to Texas, back over to the East Coast, and then back to Indiana. It's
so we didn't say it, but they're playing the Spurs first game of the week Monday.
They do. They have not played the Spurs yet this year. How is that even possible? It's March. Although that actually could be good for them because the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge is doubtful for this game, and his backup at center, Jakob Poeltl, is out with a meniscus injury. So I believe Paul Garcia of Project Spurs, I saw a tweet that they might have to start like Chimize Metu at center. I've never even heard of some of these guys that he was talking about. Drew Eubanks or something like that. Yeah. The fact that I don't know how to pronounce his name goes a long way in telling you how much trouble the Spurs might be in at big man in this game.
Yeah, last game they had Drew Eubanks play 16 minutes because Poeltl only played 4 when he got hurt.
Yeah, Poeltl got hurt pretty early in that game. Yeah. And then Aldridge didn't play at all. So that is a bummer because – I mean, the Spurs, they're maybe not too much better than the record, but like with a Popovich coach team, with a guy like DeRozan who is having really a terrific season, and Aldridge, they're still pretty dangerous and can beat you any night. They have some quality wins, but with just DeRozan and with the Pacers having a clear mismatch on the inside, this game has a lot less intrigue in terms of matchups and things like that.
Yeah. So Aldridge isn't playing. Is your butcher
most DeMar likely? DeRozan? Most likely.
Most of those.
Yeah, you got to start with DeRozan because. And I'm not, I don't mean to call out Wolfer here, but we were talking about DeRozan in the Fieldhouse chat recently, and he talked about him being inefficient. He would have the second highest true shooting percentage on the Pacers. He's over 60% true shooting this year, which is crazy good. He's been super efficient, mostly because he's been drilling his mid-rangers and getting to the rim whenever he wants, but still that he's shaken some of the inefficient label because he's mastered getting to his spots. His defense is still really bad, but his offense is just ridiculously good.
So you didn't want to pick DeJounte Murray, who, if we play him 2 weeks ago, is having a career stretch where he averaged 20 points a game over 4 games?
Is he really?
No. There was literally 4 games. So there was a stretch. I noticed because I was thinking about picking him in fantasy. Go back to early February. He had a 4-game stretch where he averaged 20 points a game, and then he's been back to earth since then. Really good for about 4 games.
Yeah, the Spurs are interesting because they're kind of like the Pacers in that they have, like, normally when they're fully healthy, they have a top 2 or pretty dangerous in tandem. But then they have a bunch of other guys who can all have pretty good games. They're all averaging right about 10 points. Patty Mills, Rudy Gay, Derek White, Murray, like you talked about, and Brent Forbes, they've all been pretty good this year. But when they lose one of those guys and they lose some of that shot creation, and some of those guys I just named are pretty young, they become a little bit like – they'll become a little bit more like a building team than a team gunning for the playoffs.
I think they're in the middle. They're no man's land right now, I guess.
Yeah, they got to make a decision on their stars before. They need a direction.
Yeah.
But they've never been in this situation because we were talking about before the show, this will be this – and they could still go on another run. It's not impossible. They're only like 4 games out. But I mean, this will be the second time they didn't make the playoffs since like the 80s, which is ridiculous, just ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this team is – the legacy of them, you think they're going to be pretty – like they'll be tough to beat, but they're not as tough as they've been in a long time.
The Pacers do pretty well against the Spurs historically.
That's also true. That's also true.
I think that's the nature of how this goes because the Spurs' whole thing is like limit turnovers, hit twos, and the Pacers' whole thing is that, but the Pacers just have a more talented roster, so it just works out.
So I'm with you on DeRozan being the butcher. X-Factor-wise, I'm going to guess –
you could talk about Rudy Gay too if we wanted, but he hasn't been as good this year.
Yeah, he was good last year though. I guess – my manager is going to probably be Sabonis on the bench, right? I mean, without two of their centers, who are they playing in the backup center even? I mean, that makes –
yeah, my goodness.
They're going to – I mean, it's will be a field day for Sabonis.
Heavy dose of Indy native Trey Lyles probably coming.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. He played – last game I had him up for saying. He played 39 minutes last time.
Holy
so he played
cow.
A little bit – probably a little bit of center, I'm guessing, during the
that's
game.
That's over a heavy dose.
Yeah.
That's something.
Well, it's the game people got hurt, so they probably know who to play.
Their bench is interesting. They play a lot of guys, but like – a lot of them are really good at one side of the ball necessarily and not the other, like Bellinelli. awesome shooter, pretty terrible. In fact, probably the worst defender in basketball. Lonnie Walker, on the other hand, young, okay defender, not great on offense yet. Trey Lyles, all offense. Derek White, well, Derek White's pretty good on both ends of the floor. I don't want to do anything to him. DeJounte Murray, mostly defense. Brent Forbes, mostly shooting. There'll be mismatches they can pick on. So the bench could be a good pick. Mine, I know yours is Sabonis. Mine is Miles. They don't have any centers to contain him. Can he get inside and do some of those, his trademarked 8-foot turnaround jumpers? Can he hit his threes? His defense will be easy. I mean, the guys he's guarding are not used to playing center. He'll be able to shift off and play good post defense. Can he cut off the drives, especially if DeRozan? I think he's got to step up and contain him in the mid-range.
So do you have a win or loss for the Pacers?
I think they can win this game. I know that, not that they should. Like, on the road is always hard, and the Spurs are always hard. But I think they can win. I think they have the talent advantage to do so and the strategic abilities to do so. And Aldridge is a big miss. He does well against the Pacers generally. Without him, that's a big loss for them.
Yeah, I would go with a win. This might be the only game to win this week, but it's – well, they play the Bulls, though, so maybe not.
I was going to say, what?
Yeah. I think this should be a win. The way they're playing, this should be a win.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, again, road win, team hungry to potentially make the playoffs. They hit a ton of their threes when they actually take them. They're top 10 in three-point percentage. Low turnover team, so you just got to make them uncomfortable with the shots they're taking.
Yep, I'm with you there. So, all right, next match.
You know they won't beat?
They won't beat. The next time they play, that's the Milwaukee Bucks. They play on Wednesday at 6 or 7 p.m. Eastern. Bucks are, let's look at it real fast.
Ridiculous.
They're first in defense and third in offense in terms of ratings. So.
Yeah, they are nuts. They just played bad today. They played the Hornets in Charlotte for a matinee. They played bad, and they still won because they're the Bucks and they just win.
Yes.
Giannis had 40 and 20. Like, he was insane. That's the Bucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so
you know who the Pacers' best player was the last time these two teams played?
Who?
I don't know. Giannis' son.
Because
he held him out of the game.
Yeah. So, is it fair to say? So, I think it's fair to say the Butchers, if we're gonna pick two, are Giannis and Middleton. But yeah. I think we shouldn't overlook some of the way these other players are playing. So, first of all, you're looking at George Hill, who's shooting 50% from three.
Still. It's March. That's insane.
Which is insane. You got Wesley Matthews, who's shooting 38% from three. And really, it looks like kind of a reinvigorated player, right? Most of, you know, he's
shot about this well last year.
Yeah, but he looks better, I think, with this team. You know, Grant playing better players, that helps. You got Bledsoe's
defense.
Bledsoe's having a really good season, too, 48-35. I mean, you just got Giannis made everybody better, basically.
Yeah, Chris Middleton's going to make All-NBA. Like, that's insane to me. He's been one of the best six forwards in basketball this year. And Giannis is the best player in basketball. So, they're pretty freaking hard to beat.
Yeah, so if they're going to have a shot at winning, what is your X factor for them?
If they're going to win, they're going to – remember in Toronto when they hit a franchise record number of threes? They're going to have to do that to keep up with the Bucks because they just – their defense is insanely good, right? Giannis can – whatever player he picks, that player is out of the possession, will not score. Wesley Matthews is a good defender. Chris Middleton's a good defender. Brooke Lopez has a defensive player of the year case. And Eric Bledsoe's tenacious. And then off the bench, DiVincenzo's been good. We all know what George Hill can do. Like, they just have defense everywhere. So they're going to have to be hitting their threes regardless of how they generate them. They just have to go in because it's so hard to score getting into the paint. It's so hard to get – quality looks up against this team. They just have to bury their threes. I know that's super reductive, but that's how the Bucks are.
Yeah.
They'll give you the corner three. That's something weird about their strategy. It works, but they'll give it to you.
For me, it's about can the bench find a way to run up the score? I think the bench is probably even with this Bucks team.
No,
you don't think even the Bucks bench is better?
Yep.
See, I get... So you know it's better. How well are they staggering Middleton and Giannis?
They don't play fourth quarter, so it's kind of hard to say. But
okay.
Yeah, Middleton does really well when Giannis isn't out there, and they mostly stagger them.
Okay. Because I'm thinking
– it's crazy that Middleton's under 30 minutes a game.
Like, the best thing to seem to win is
– destroy everybody.
Is for the bench to win out their minutes. That's the only thing they've been – because I don't think starter-wise you're just not going to win. You're just
– No way. No, you're absolutely right. The thing about their bench is like – DiVincenzo's finally stepped up and he's an NBA player. Pat Connaughton's an NBA player. And then with George Hill hitting like this, the problem is they only play nine guys, right? So whoever, one of Middleton or Giannis is with the bench when they do it. So like their bench is, it's like when teams play the Pacers bench really has Sabonis. So their bench is still good. Like the Bucks bench is still really good.
Yeah.
Because one of their studs is always out there. So, yeah, they're just nuts. I mean, they're just amazing.
So, loss?
Yeah, it's a pretty safe bet. I mean, what have they lost at home this season? Yeah, they have to have, or else I would know that. That's a stat. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a stat I would know if they had.
I'm on B-ball reps. I don't have their splits. Let me go.
Yeah, I'm on it. Don't worry.
Okay.
They are 27-3 at home.
Whew, that's actually worse than the 76ers, right? On the Sixers, like,
I believe so.
The Sixers are
lost to Miami at home in the first in their second game of the season. Let's see who their other home losses are. They lost to Dallas, Pacers Sunday opponent at home in December. In their third home loss, ooh, it was recent, to Denver. Denver, that's crazy. Denver, Dallas, and Miami are the only teams they can do it.
Yeah. They're not going to win. Let's be quick.
Nope. And I don't mean that to say that the Pacers aren't playing good and could potentially be surprising. I just think the Bucks were that good, right? And the Pacers won by 7 at home. TJ Warren had a fantastic game. No Giannis. Like, they still almost won that game. They had an amazing third quarter. They're just really good. They're really talented. They're probably the title favorites, and this is why. You'll see.
Yeah, well, luckily, the Pacers have a game coming up. They could possibly win. Let's take one quick break. I'm going to preview the rest of the week's games. All right, Tony, so we go from a probably game they're going to lose by 20 to a very winnable game against the Chicago Bulls, correct?
Extremely winnable. In fact, this is close to a must win. Not must win. That's the wrong word. This is close to a free win. There's the word I wanted.
The Bulls are in free fall, right? They basically have won one game since, like, January.
They won one game in February. It was against the Wizards.
Doesn't count the real team either, so we're good.
Yeah. Make of that what you will. Yeah, they are not playing well. Zach LaVine looks mad a lot at his coach. Pretty much everyone who covers the Bulls does not like that coach. Chris Dunn, who does well against the Pacers because he's a really good defender, is out. Chandler Hutchinson's been out for a while. Luke Kornet's out. Markkanen is maybe back.
Yeah, it says end of February, but
Otto Porter has just fallen off the face of the earth, apparently. Like, they're banged up in their talent, and they're losing. They really need help to win, but outside of LaVine, they don't really have a way to do it. Pacers have done well against them. I don't know if they've lost the Bulls in the last two seasons, have they? So
they lost a game, I think, here or there. Something stupid. Like, they lost with Mirotić before he got traded.
That's right.
I don't know, last year, though. I think they probably lost one of them. But
They do historically very well against this team. Their coverages cannot contain the two bigs. So, yeah, the Bulls are just not very good. And we've seen that three times already this season.
So can I give you my non-Zach LaVine butcher?
If Markkanen plays, you can give me a unique one that isn't him.
Oh, I was going to say maybe Thaddeus Young.
Oh, hey. Well, Thad doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, he scored 15 last night, or 2 nights ago, I think, when he played.
Yeah, I don't want to be a little Thad. I don't know why, but I have a good hunch of why he signed with the Bulls. But
Money.
I would not be super interested in giving him my all if I was him.
You know what? Thad should cash those 14 million.
Yeah, good for him, man. Good for him. He's got kids and a family. Good for him.
And I think they probably still live in Indy, I'm assuming.
And he'll probably get traded on his contract to a winning team.
Eventually, yes, for sure.
So good for him for that too. No, I thought you were going to say someone else, because Kobe White just have like an insane week last week?
Oh, I don't know. I was just looking at the last game and I saw that I had a good game. I'm going to be honest. I'm not watching a ton of Bulls, especially when the Bulls played the Knicks, because neither team is good.
Yeah, Kobe White's last four games, 22 points, 35 points, 33 points, 33 points.
Okay, so he's a good pick.
Yeah, he's hot. Over 30 points a game his last four. 56% three-point shooting on 10 attempts per game. That won't sustain, but showing why I liked him so much in the draft process. My man. He's good. He could be the butcher if LaVine's not right. We saw in that game they won where Turner played really well, that it seemed like the Pacers would just go on these long extended runs, like a long extended 15-4 run, and then Kobe White would just score 9 points in 30 seconds. It'd be a game again. It was super frustrating. But he's another one, because a lot of their other guys are talented, but not like, oh, this guy has kill you potential. So
yeah,
I like that. Right. But it's LaVine, right?
So tell me why I'm wrong to pick Vic as the X factor.
Are you wrong?
Because I don't know. Tell me why I'm
their
right.
Pick and roll coverages.
I think Vic could be but could have a good game. Let's put it that way.
I think he could have 8 or 9 assists.
Most guys are gonna have good games, right?
Yeah,
everybody on the team will. Obviously, you have a
they
nice
try.
Night.
The defense is really league average. It's just that they just try this gimmicky PNR coverage that they have. Their bigs have to cover so much space.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
So
I wonder when marketing comes back. That's a big thing.
Why? Because he just adds some more versatility to the defense?
Yeah, he's another versatile guy. I doubt he'll be great returning from a decently long injury, but and it's just another versatile guy. And they, like, without Cornette and actually Wendell's playing again. But without Cornette, they just need any versatile big to help them.
I know Cornette is
not a good player, but he can shoot and is okay.
The thing about Markkanen, though, right, is he's – I feel like was
last bad season.
Right? Last year was his rookie year, right?
Last year was his rookie year.
Right? And he was, like, such a high prospect. Like, he got traded for Butler. I think it was 2 years ago, actually. Isn't he on his third season?
I don't think so, is he?
He's in his third year. Last year, had a really good season. Like, there was all this kind of, like, hope on him. And
he had a huge game in Indy. He had a 30-point game in Indy.
Such a bad year that has kind of ruined that. Who is your X factor, I guess, in this game?
I already picked Sabonis, right? I can't use him again.
I think I used the bench twice, to be honest. Last time,
that is the rules. Is we are breaking all of them today.
Yes.
I don't know. I think TJ Warren is due for a big game against this Bulls team, especially with Chris Dunn out. They don't have a lick of wing defense, and I know they'll try to guard him, but I mean, Warren scores on everything. Like, no matter what coverage is thrown at him or whatever size of players thrown at him, he just understands the angles and the coverage so well that he can get up a good look against anything. And given the Bulls are not a good, great defensive team, I think he can have a good game here.
Do you think they win or lose?
I think they win. I'm pretty confident in a 4-0 sweep of the Bulls.
So what do we think, a 20, 30-point win?
No, not that high. The Bulls game was kind of close last time, wasn't it? Am I crazy?
Yeah.
In Chicago.
I honestly don't remember.
The Turner game, I forget when it was.
That was last year. I think last year.
No, it was not last year. What are you talking about?
Well, they played close games last year, right?
Yeah, Darren Collison hit his only game winner.
Remember? Yeah, the Turner had two blocks.
Well, the last time they played was Vic's first game, and that game I'm drawing nothing from.
Yes. Well, that
they
was
a lost game. That game. If that we're was being a close honest. Game. They should have lost that game. No, it was like early January. Turner was amazing. They won by like 10.
Okay.
You think that was last year?
Do you have a game in front of you, or are you just saying things?
That happened.
Okay. Yeah.
Sabonis didn't play. Turner 27-14. You don't remember this?
Tony's been a long season.
Wow. Wow. That was one of the most impressionable games of the season.
Pacers.
Jakar Starr. Oh, you're killing me.
Oh, it's right. There was Jakar Starr. Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Holiday had a big game off the bench. They didn't have McConnell. They had nobody. They didn't have Brogdon. Edmund Sumner played. Come on. Remember all these fun games with the niche players that we like.
I barely remember this game. Okay. I'm sorry. When they play the Bulls, it's going to be honest, they kind of bleed over 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah, the Bulls have had the same roster for a while, and it's been bad the whole time.
Very bad. So we both have wins. Let's make it closer.
They're rolling through the road trip before they hit up the mighty Mavs.
Yeah, so let's tell you why the last game they play, and that's against the Dallas Mavericks, who you say have the best offense in the history of the NBA.
They do. An offensive rating over 117 is insane. That's 4 points. 4 points higher than the Bucks, which is crazy to think about. Porzingis just had an absurdly good month. Luka's insane. Rick Carlisle could make me and you and three other guys a good bench. Like, they're just really freaking good.
Yeah, what did Porzingis had? He had 38 against Pacers last time they played, right? And they didn't have Luka and still won.
Yeah, no Luka, and Porzingis was like, all right, I got this. Well, like, it's funny. He's shooting about league average from three this year, and Quinn, I think, said this on the broadcast. He was like, yeah, you live with that shot when he took a three earlier in the game. And I was like, yeah, okay, I agree with that. And then he made another, and then another, and then another. And I was like, whoa, what is happening? I think he finished like 6-13 or 6-4, I forget that game. In February, Porzingis averaged 25 points and 11 rebounds on 48-40-88 splits. He was electric. They finally have that co-star with Luka. He is here. He's killing it.
Yeah, this is going to be a mighty twosome going forward. This year they might run it. They're going to run into obviously the Lakers or even Houston in that first round. But after, I mean,
when they have their money in 2021 and can actually build around them, so, man.
Here's a question for you. Who do you like better as a duo going forward? And I think I know your answer, but Luka and Kristaps or Tatum and Brown?
Luka and Kristaps,
yeah. That's what I'm with you there, too. I mean,
I love Tatum I mean, he's on fire recently, but
I don't think Brown's as good as Kristaps, though.
No, Luka's better than Tatum, and Kristaps is better than Brown.
Yeah, I just
Kristaps is better than Brown. I don't know.
These guys are locked in. What is Kristaps in the first year of a 5-year extension or 4-year?
Yeah, they've got those two guys for a long freaking time.
They managed to rebuild this roster. They figured it out. Good for them.
They're playing like. But the other thing they're doing is that they're playing like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist minutes at center. Because they have some center injuries, and
I just mean they like built that. Like they have a core that's the hardest thing to get. You can have
all a core and a ton of versatility.
I mean, you can go to the Bulls way where they have a bunch of like average players, not even average players, a lot of which are like maybe good players that are too solidly, you know, going to be your cornerstones for 5-10 years.
I know they're the 7th seed in the East. I would not want to be the Western Conference team that has to play the Mavs in the first round.
Luka's just a killer too.
Luka is really good. Tim Hardaway Jr. is actually like having a good season too.
Well, he's fine as a third wheel. He's just
41% of his threes.
He's good as a third wheel. He fits well as a third wheel.
Yeah, the Knicks were not right to give him that much money.
Seth Curry also been really good for them. 12 points off the bench, right? Always played with some.
Yeah, they have threats. Yeah, and Seth Curry was like, he kept signing 1-year deals. I remember every summer I'd write like, who the Pacers should target in free agency thing. And I was like, oh, Seth Curry. Okay, throw him on.
He's really good. I mean, he is he's
on the board.
He's a very good bench player. 6-man.
He hits a high percentage of threes that he makes for himself.
Yes. So I think we both think they just have a shot at this game. Probably will lose, but if they're going to win, what do they need to do? Give me the X factor.
They got to slow down one of Doncic, Porzingis, which sounds a lot easier than it is. I mean, there's a reason they've been unstoppable for a month. So defense in general, I think, man, who will guard Luka in this game?
Malcolm Brogdon, probably.
No, but I'm thinking Warren. I don't know.
No, because Warren guard Chris. No, he won't.
He is not. I don't know. I bet Warren's on Finney Smith. So, yeah, you might be right. It might be Brogdon. Yeah, Brogdon's D is going to be important, although I do not trust that against Luka. So I'll see how this goes. But they have to slow down one of those guys to win, because if their two-man game is going, you can't stop the match. It's over. So
I haven't done it yet, but I think Turner is my expectation in this game.
Turner.
I assume he'll guard Kristaps or some of Kristaps, and I think – it's going to be a close game, and they'll need a big shot from him.
They do. Yeah, they will. They can beat the Mavs, right? Like, the Mavs defense is below average. I believe it's like 20th. And they give up over
19th. It's 19th.
Over 110 points per 100. So there are ways to score on this Mavs team. If they can string together a strategy that gets them those baskets. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you didn't say the Doug McDermott revenge game, who is two again this week, actually, right? He played for the Bulls as well. So
yeah, and it's a road game, so he'll be good. We haven't talked about that yet, have we? I know at the beginning of the season, road McDermott was not a thing like it was last year, but road McDermott is officially a thing again.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. One of the stats.
I want to pull up his splits officially, but I think he's like over 50 on the road and under 30 at home or something. All right, at home, Doug McDermott is shooting 33% from three, and on the road, he's shooting 52.6%.
Well, this is going for him. We should have picked him as the X factor.
I don't understand why this is a thing 2 years in a row, but it is.
He hates
free throws, 77% at home, 88% on the road. What the heck?
Doesn't like Indianapolis, I guess. I don't know.
he just goes crazy on these road games. I don't get it. It's crazy.
So, over under 2.5 wins this week for the Pacers.
This week?
Yeah, this week. There's 4 games.
So road trip, I would say over this week. I will say under. I think they win twice this week against the Spurs and the Bulls.
I think I'm with you there.
I think they have a shot. They have no shot against the Bucks. I really am curious what the line's going to be for that game. But, yeah, I think they have no shot against the Bucks, and they have an okay but not good enough shot against the Mavs.
Yes, I'm with you there.
Weird road trip. It makes no sense.
I know you keep saying that, but it's just the way it is. You got anything to plug or anything you want to
promote? Yeah. I have something about TJ Warren coming out tomorrow. It's pretty cool. I actually got to talk to him finally. I have something about Jakar coming out pretty soon. Something about Miles Shots coming. I'm just writing a lot recently. So, yeah, lots of stuff coming out this week.
Well, you can follow Tony at Teased NBA, me at FreeManM5, and our podcast at Locked On Pacers. As always, we bring you 5 podcasts a week, so look for those as they come out the rest of the week. Tony will bring you actually the post game for the first time this season, possibly, because
I've done a few.
Okay, but in a long time. So we'll be switching one of those days this week, so I'll be doing a preview for one of the games this week. And, yeah, we'll bring you all the previews and posts from this week's 4 games of action, I guess. I guess the 4th game will come on Monday, but we'll bring you all that action. That's all for Locked On Pacers podcast. And as always, have a great rest of your day.